The hands that feed the world are under siege. From forests to coastlines, from grasslands to mountains, peasant communities, indigenous peoples, and small-scale food producers who nourish humanity and protect the earth are facing a new wave of dispossession.
From February the 24th to the 28th, representatives of states, ministries, and grassroots movements around the world will gather in Cartagena, Colombia, for the second International Conference on Agrarian Reform and Rural Development hosted by the Colombian government. The event comes 2 decades after the first edition, held in Porto Alegre, southern Brazil, in March 2006, and delegates from more than 70 countries are expected to attend. Ahead of the conference, the academics will have a space for discussions, and hundreds of delegates from social movements and organizations representing peasants, indigenous peoples, artisanal fishers, pastoralists, and rural workers that make up the International Planning Committee for Food Sovereignty, the IPC, will participate in the Forum of Peoples and Social Movements, United for Land, Water, Territories, and Dignity, taking place on February the 22nd and the 23rd. This autonomous space serves as a crucial platform for our global social movements to unite their voices and concrete proposals, where all IPC members will actively participate in the plenary sessions and official panels. The IPC is an autonomous and self-organized global platform of peasants, small-scale food producers and rural workers organizations, and grassroots community-based social movements to advance the food sovereignty agenda at the global and regional level. On February the 18th, the IPC released a position paper urging governments to move beyond voluntary commitments and adopt binding, measurable actions to ensure redistributive land reform, equitable access to natural resources, democratic governance, and agroecological rural development. 20 years after the first International Conference on Agrarian Reform, land, water, forests, and oceans are increasingly concentrated in the hands of corporations and financial actors, driving dispossession, inequality, and ecological collapse. Small-scale food producers, indigenous peoples, pastoralists, fishers, rural women and workers continue to be excluded from their territories and decision-making spaces, says the IPC in its official webpage. Without secure collective rights to land and territories, there can be no food sovereignty, no just transition, and no lasting peace. At the International Conference on Agrarian Reform Plus 20, the IPC brings forward a clear political vision to reclaim land and dignity worldwide, the statement adds. To gain a deeper understanding of the expectations, concerns, and contributions of social movements ahead of the International Conference on Agrarian Reform Plus 20 and the parallel activities, we interviewed Morgan Ode, General Coordinator of La Via Campesina, and Tammy Jonas, representative of the Agroecology and Food Sovereignty Alliance. Morgan made reference to the importance of the International Conference on Agrarian Reform and Rural Development and the Forum of Peoples and Social Movements, United for Land, Water, Territories and Dignity, that will take place ahead of the conference.
The International Conference on Agrarian Reform and Rural Development that will take place in Colombia is very important, in particular in the context of massive land grabbing, people's eviction of their territories, and a new kind of imperialism that we see in many places of the world and has huge impact on especially the rural people. So it's a high necessity that peoples and social movements from all over the world that we join together to organize ourselves and to make sure that there is a democratic control over land, water, and the territories by the people and not by big corporations or by imperialist actors. So the ICAD is an intergovernmental conference, but with a strong participation of peoples and social movement. And this participation is really the key in this conference, because the goal that we have is to ensure people's control over land, waters, and territories. And that's the reason why the forum just before the official ICAD of peoples and of social movement is so important for the whole process of the International Conference on Agrarian Reform.
Moreover, Tammy stated,
ECOD 20 is a critical political moment for agrarian justice and food sovereignty. The recent UN Special Rapporteur's right on land and the right to food really reinforces what movements have long asserted, that land's not a commodity. It's the foundation of life, culture, community, and the right to food itself. Treating land as a tradable resource has driven hunger, ecological destruction, and deeper inequality everywhere. And the Forum of Social Movements and Indigenous Peoples is absolutely central to this project. It grounds the conference in the lived realities of those most impacted by land dispossession and hunger. Indigenous peoples and peasants around the world know personally the material impacts of dispossession, and our movements know the pathways to food sovereignty. Our participation isn't just important in the whole conference, it's foundational to transformation. In countries like Australia here, there is barely a whisper of land reform. But the reality is that land is more concentrated more than ever in Australia, and Indigenous peoples still don't have genuine control over their own country. What is striking is that in countries like Brazil, Colombia, or the Philippines, where land conflict is actually quite openly acknowledged, agrarian reform is in fact recognized as a structural political problem. There, land concentration is named as a source of violence, poverty, and displacement. Whereas, like here in so-called Australia, land concentration is treated as a normal outcome of market efficiency rather than a political injustice. The absence of conflict is taken as evidence of success rather than as evidence of how thoroughly land has been enclosed and totally depoliticized. So spaces like the Forum of Social Movements and Indigenous Peoples, which is taking place as part of the ECOD 20, matter because they allow us to speak honestly about what's actually happening on the ground and to build a shared political vision across very different contexts, including places like Australia, where they pretend we don't even have an agrarian question.
Militarization, organized crime, corporate power, big tech, and the commodification of climate itself.
When speaking about how an agrarian reform for the people should look like and the contributions that are going to be brought to the International Conference on Agrarian Reform, Tammy said,
"Agrarian reform for the peoples must start from one simple principle. Land is not a commodity. It's a basis for life, culture, and collective survival. It must involve redistribution of land. It must involve the recognition of collective and indigenous tenure and real political power for those who live on and care for the land. In Brazil, Colombia, and the Philippines, again, the social movements have long insisted on this, from the MSTs, inspiring land occupations, to Colombia's Campesino reserve zones, to peasant struggles against landlordism and plantations in Southeast Asia, even including in Indonesia, where we were recently with La Via Campesina. These movements understand agrarian reform not as charity, but as a reorganization of power and territory. In so-called Australia, farmland is increasingly owned by billionaires, agribusiness corporations, and institutional investors. I mean, this is happening everywhere, right? Individual companies here, though, control 4, 5, or even 7 million hectares of land. That's not food sovereignty, that's land concentration on a continental scale. But unlike Latin America or parts of Asia, there's no political language here to even name this as a problem, let alone a reform agenda to address it. Land concentration is treated as investment success rather than social failure. However, there's a growing number of farmers like us who are doing the work that our government should be doing, sharing our land with First and Second Nations farmers who otherwise would not be able to farm. The Agroecology and Food Sovereignty Alliance, of which I'm one of the leaders, is working on an agrarian trust program to take land out of the speculative market and put it in the hands of Indigenous peoples and small-scale farmers. But we're really aware that this is still a kind of market-based tactic towards the ultimate strategy to put power and land back in the hands of the people.
And Morgan added,
"The agrarian reform that we want for the people, it's based on the four R's. We want recognition of customary rights of the people over their land, waters, and territories. That's the first R. We want restitution or reparation. It means that the land tenure system, the current system, has been very much shaped by colonialism and by massive land grabbing and eviction of the people. And so there must be reparation and restitutions of land, waters, and territories to the peoples who have faced this process of colonialism. Third, there is a need for redistribution. That's the third R. Especially in the context of big lender ownership, latifundio that we see in Latin America, in Asia, in Africa, in North America, more or less all over the world, we need to have strong public policies to redistribute the land, especially to women, to youth, to migrant workers, to all the people who have been historically marginalized from their right to the land. And last but not least, we need regulation. That is the fourth R. And regulation, that it means that we don't want the forces of the market to decide of who has access to land or not. We want democratic participation in order to define how the land and the territories, how they are being used for public interest. So this is our vision of agrarian reform. It's important because it is a vision that unifies peoples from different regions, people from different sectors, not only the farmers, but also indigenous peoples, the fisherfolk, pastoralists, urban people, into a vision that puts really democratization of land and the fact that people do control really how their territories are being used.
Land is being fenced. Water is being captured. Territories are being emptied. But across continents, voices are rising. Because land is the foundation of agrarian reform. Our struggle rises with the fight against imperialism and authoritarianism, against ecological collapse, and for life, for dignity, for the future itself.
Our interviewees also spoke about the progresses that have been made in terms of agrarian reforms and what remains to be developed in order to achieve the type of agrarian reform that they described before. They also pointed out the challenges for the future. Tammy said,
"There has been progress. Agrarian reform and Food Sovereignty are now recognized internationally as human rights frameworks, you know, through instruments like the Voluntary Guidelines on Tenure or the Small-Scale Fisheries Guidelines, the UN Declaration on the Rights of Peasants or the much older one, the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, all of which have been reinforced by the Special Rapporteur's framing of land as central to the right to food. Unfortunately, most of that progress is in recognition, not reality. So again, here in Australia, Indigenous peoples fought for decades just to have their existence on the land legally acknowledged. That struggle matters, but recognition without power is not justice. And the real situation remains deeply unequal. Land concentration continues globally, driven by corporate control of seeds, inputs, markets, let alone land. Legal protections that exist are weak or unenforced, especially for collective and Indigenous tenure. And agroecology and small-scale producers are still marginalized by industrial food systems. So if you look at Brazil, agrarian reform has been uneven and constantly under attack, but has resulted in millions of hectares being redistributed to smallholders through sustained political struggle. Here in Australia, by contrast, recognition has occurred entirely within a colonial private property system. Native title is a right granted by the state, which can be overridden by that same state. Traditional owners may be consulted, but rarely have real veto power over mining, water extraction, or other unsustainable developments. So the hardest task remains. We have to shift power, not just policy. So real agrarian reform means dismantling legal structures that allow land to be endlessly accumulated by corporations and elites and puts power back into people's hands.
In that regard, Morgan added,
"Of course, agrarian reform can only be thought about as a process unifying public policies together with struggles. We don't believe that agrarian reform will take place without very strong struggles by the people, especially by the rural people, demanding the land, sometimes occupying the land and being struggling in the territories in order to get it. But we also see that in some countries, some committed governments can also decide to support this vision for agrarian reform, which is a vision for justice. So this connection between social movements and progressive government is something very important in achieving real and genuine agrarian reform that works for the people."
Near the end, both of our interviewees talked about the risk of agrarian reform becoming only a discourse and the mechanisms that are needed to ensure real implementation. Morgan said,
Of course, there are risks in it. Especially, we have seen in the past that actors such as the World Bank have been using the narrative agrarian reform to transform it into market-based agrarian reform. And that was a way to put forward the privatization of land that was very negative for the people. So we should always be aware of this risk that some powerful actors working mainly for the big corporations that they take over our narrative. But I think that now our strong analysis of what kind of agrarian reform we want really helps us to resist against this type of co-opting.
And Tammy closed saying,
obviously the biggest risk is that agrarian reform becomes a story that governments tell about themselves rather than a transformation that's actually experienced by people. I know I keep talking about the Philippines and Brazil, but again, we can see how reform can actually be hollowed out, and also in Indonesia, turned into paperwork, titles, or market-based schemes that leave underlying power untouched. And Australia is actually a perfect example of this danger, but in a more advanced form. We are presented internationally as a country with strong land rights framework, the best water management system, and a great reconciliation process. But in reality, farmland here is more concentrated than most places in the world. Our water markets are a disaster for Indigenous peoples and environmental and small-scale farmers' access to water. Indigenous sovereignty over land is still denied, and land is primarily treated here as a financial asset. So reform exists in policy documents, but not at all in material conditions. The mechanisms we need are not just legal, they're political. We need binding land redistribution. We need collective and Indigenous tenure systems. We need strong social movements that can hold the states accountable. So real agrarian reform is not a policy checkbox. It's a redistributive, rights-based transformation that shifts power back to communities and supports our collective right to feed ourselves with dignity. You know, agrarian reform isn't about better policies. It's about who holds power over land and whether that power serves life or capital.
This podcast was produced by the communications team of the International Planning Committee for Food Sovereignty.